You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And tonight, we are...
Hey, Queens, and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast. This week, we are kicking off a couple of industry episodes over the next month or so. This week we are sitting down with Rosie Pearson from Pearson Casting. So we chat everything about what they look for in the room and just some industry knowledge throughout. So this is going to be a really good one for any of those in the industry or anyone looking to get into the industry. Definitely stick around right to the end. This is going to be a great one. Make sure you guys are checking out Theatre Fans TV. That's Theatre Fans TV on Instagram. But other than that, let's get down.
I'm the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal. Get down.
Hey, queens, and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast. I nearly forgot the name of the show. There we go. We're off to a cracking start. And this week, we are talking all things casting with the wonderful Rosie Pearson. Hey, Rosie, how are you going?
Hi, how are you doing? I'm good.
Right. I'm like really fired up for this one, guys. And if you guys don't know James, Rosie, Pearson Casting, they are the guys that essentially find all the wonderful queens that we get to see on stage. So these are the people we have to thank for pretty much everybody we look up to. And we're going to divulge into their little world and get all the information out of them throughout this episode, which is great. So Rosie, first of all, what's the your favorite show that you've seen?
That I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Wow.
Hard one to start it off with.
I mean, I just love musicals, and I thought the original cast of Jersey Boys in London was absolutely, I was just blown away. I just cried the whole way. I love Saigon. Again, I just like cry the whole show. I loved Anne Juliet, which I saw on the press night before that went out on the down to London. I saw it in Manchester, but I don't know if I have a favorite. I don't know if I have something that I would like give up everything to go and see. Yeah. And obviously I love Six. I saw it before I started working on it. Yeah. And James and I were like, oh God, we want to cast this show so much. But yeah, so obviously I have to say Six is my favorite show.
What's your favorite downtime activity?
I'm going to be really honest with you that we don't really have a lot of downtime. So,
I was writing this question. I was like, I wonder if there's actually going to be an answer. Like that actually went through my head.
But this is the problem, isn't it? When you like work in the industry and you're really passionate about it, it becomes everything. So you go to the theatre, you watch TV, you watch film. I try and read a lot. I did an English degree and then kind of abandoned reading completely. Like just went, I'm never reading again. I read like 50 books a week. So now I love to read for pleasure. And we go on holiday whenever we can.
Yeah.
So, wonderful. Yeah.
Perfect mix. To wrap things up on the fun end of things, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
That was a decisive answer right there to wrap that section up. So before we get stuck in, can you just quickly explain for those people that maybe don't know what a casting director is, what your role is, and how you got involved in the casting side of theatre?
So a casting director works for the producer, so very separate to an agent. And I think there can be a lot of confusion in the industry because you hear the words casting agent, but really it's a casting director or an agent, a kind of technically the two separate terms. An agent will look after your career, but a casting director works for the producer and they get commissions. So like a director or a choreographer, a producer will come to you and say, hi, we've got this coming up, we want to find this cast. So they'll say, we need 12 people or 6 people or however many it is, and will you do it, will you find those people? So then we go out into the industry, we use industry platforms and people we know and relationships with agents to shortlist, I suppose, a number of people then to bring into the audition room to work with the director. And then we kind of facilitate the whole thing. So we organize auditions, we get feedback, we try and like nurture and take people on the path down to that final process, but ultimately the final decision comes down to the director and the choreographer. So we have, I guess, a lot of influence but no power, if that makes sense. So yeah, people are like, oh my gosh, this casting director, well yeah, they can get you in the room, but once you're in the room, it's kind of
up to you, absolutely.
And if the director and producer don't like someone, then there's nothing you can do about that as a casting director, you know. So we got into it by working, we've both been performers for a long, long time. James had worked in the West End and I toured a lot. And we worked on cruise ships together for, I think, 6 years. And the company we were working for just said, oh, we don't really find much talent in the UK. You know, we're doing open auditions. And we were like, let us hold a private call for you. And they said, oh, we've got Legally Blonde, the musical, coming on to the ships. Can you do that? And we were like, yep. Okay, sure. Say yes now.
Jump in the deep end and find
out. Literally. So they were amazing. They were just like, go run with it. And then we were able to work in their casting office with them throughout a whole year on and off on all different musicals, production shows. And actually, it's Norwegian Cruise Line we started with, who now have 6 on currently 2 of, well, we're on a break at the moment, but currently 2 ships with them. So that's kind of where we learned, and then it kind of went on to shows on land and TV and commercial casting, and so it kind of grew from there.
Kind of blew up.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So how did you first find out about 6?
Oh, actually, it's a really good story. So we were casting a show that was going on at the Other Palace in London called Myth, that was written by this incredible British young writer. And none of us really knew each other. We came like recommended by someone else, And we were on the first day of auditions. And Arlene Phillips was directing this musical. And she walked in on the first day. And obviously, we were a little bit nervous. Like, we didn't know her, hadn't worked with her. She worked with so many amazing people. And she just walked in and she said, before I say hello, everybody has to go and see this. And she held this program up and slammed it down on this desk. And she was like, I want to see this girl, this girl, and this girl. And she was like, it's on at the Arts. It's on for like 10 days. You had like, if you see anything in the next few days. And we're like, oh, that sounds so interesting. Anyway, we didn't have time to do that. And then we went to Edinburgh in 2018 and it was on there and it was sold out. And we're like, oh, we're never going to get to see this show. And then we'd contacted Andy and Wendy, who are 2 of the producers of 6, about just working with them. They have another production company alongside Global Musicals where they develop new work, which is just so exciting.
For anyone that isn't aware of that, that's perfect pitch. You probably would have heard me mention that a couple of times. I think Andy dropped it on our episodes as well. So please go check out them as well.
Just amazing. They just develop new work and work with new writers, and that's just right up our street. So we'd written to them saying, we really want to work with you. They said, oh, we have a new show coming up, not 6. And so we went to see 6 in the Arts before we had this meeting with them. So we knew, and we came out, and I, like I said, we were just like, we have to work on this show. They didn't have a casting team. And then that was just that way of when they needed some more people, so originally the producers had cast the original London Queens, so Natalie Paris and Amy Atkinson and Maya and all that, they had found them themselves, but then obviously they needed more alternates, more swings, and then when the cast change came over, it all handed over to us. So that's, yeah,
that's a perfect kind of it's not what you know, it's who you know, kind of, which is what this industry is predominantly like. It's more who you know than what you know, because you need to know people to get you through the door or anything like that. It's always good to, and we'll touch on this later, present yourself the right way online and work on those connections and relationships outside of work, which is good. So moving into working on the show, at what point did you guys join 6? Was that for like that first initial change?
No, they needed, so at the time, Grace was the super swing at the Arts. And bless, I don't even know. Like, I have a really good brain.
Could you imagine that right now? Like,
now, and like, just incredible. And the same with Colette, who is the swing, obviously, at the Arts at the moment, and dance captain. Just to have that brain to jump from like matinee show, you're arrogant, to then, you know, in the evening you're playing Howard, just incredible. But obviously there was sickness, and, you know, it's a vocally very demanding show, and they just, we can't have everyone feeling like they can never go off or have time off, and holidays were coming up as well. So they engaged us to find Licky Mansur and Courtney Stapleton. So they were going to be between them, kind of. I mean, everyone covers all six anyway, but to be the only swing, I think, is probably incredibly impressive and pressured. Yeah. So they brought us on just to find those two queens. And there were other people actually in the finals of that who are now in the show. I don't want to say who it is, but that's the kind of, that, I know you want to talk about the casting process, but that's the kind of show it was, where there was the talent at the end of that process was so incredible. And so we found those two, and then we knew that there would be a cast change coming up for 2019, and also the tour was going out. So then that was kind of a natural progression.
Yeah, awesome. That's amazing. I love that. So how did casting this show differ to other shows that you guys had worked on up until this point?
Six is a really tricky show to cast. There are so many elements to it. And so, for example, we just cast a new revival of Rent, which is going on at the Hope Mill Theatre in Manchester. And you need exceptional vocals, you need amazing actors, you need people that have the right feel for the show. Luke Shepherd, the director of Anne Juliet, is directing that, and he was very specific about what he wanted with that. But there's no dance in the show, so that you are freer, I think, to work with people that are just exceptional in kind of a couple of areas for that particular show. Yeah. But Six is a triple threat show. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, the choreography is Olivier nominated for a reason. And so we started in the beginning, just kind of singing first, and then acting and then dancing at the end. And then we found we were losing just people, you know, the team were falling in love with exceptional people who then just couldn't dance the show. And it's more technical, I think, than probably appears. And that's what makes it so clever, is that you are so swept up in the whole 75 minutes of it, you don't realize that these are quite technical dancers. The style of kind of hip hop, jazz, commercial is a very, very clever show, but you have to be able to dance. It's not a show for people who are amazing singers but can't act, or amazing singer actors who can't dance, or dancers who can't. It's literally the perfect package.
Yeah.
Then you have to have an incredible pop vocal. So musical theatre isn't right, and a rock vocal's not right. So you need to have a very contemporary, you know, all the queens are based on, you know, very contemporary pop stars, pop queens, and so that have to have that right vocal and a good musicality as well. There's so many harmonies in the show, and then, you know, great acting. There's so much acting in the show. I know people say, oh, it's more of a, sometimes, you know, it feels more of a concert, but there's so much sharp wit that needs, you know, amazing comic timing and delivery, but also some real moments of pathos and strength. So you need women that really know themselves. You need actors who are literally the whole bundle, and then are stars on top of that. So now we dance first, which means A, we can see more people, which is amazing, because obviously there's always limits on how many days we can do for an audition process based on budgets and creative availability. I mean, there are so many productions of it now. We're lucky to have a creative team together in London for like 5 days, which is amazing. We dance first, and it can be tough. You know, there are people, I'm like, that she is just so perfect, but she can't dance it now. And so we say to people, listen, you've got cut at this point, your technique's not strong enough, you need to go and do some commercial heels classes and come back in 3 months, and come back in 3 months, and they do, and they book the show.
And so this is something that I've heard about with the girls, from your perspective, the girls
Right.
I've always highly praised you guys because if they don't get the call straight away, they know why and they can work on that for the next time, or they just feel so supported in that moment because you're giving them the feedback there and then so they can show you the best version of themselves instead of not giving them a reason why they're getting cut, not getting cast, or why they're getting cut. And that's been kind of the biggest praise that you guys have been getting on the podcast, which I've heard, which is fantastic.
Good. I'm glad that's translating, because you know the audition room can be kind of a busy and stressful place for everybody. You know, we're under pressure as well. As I said, there are limited days. Producers have paid for studios and day rates for creatives, and so it's really important to us that, you know, we're getting it right. But also, you know, it's not a show that everybody books first time. Some people, it takes like 2 years of auditioning just to get that element right, and then they're absolutely flying. So I'm glad people feel supported in the audition room. It's really important.
That's amazing. What was it like coming into a show with a young creative team as well, compared to other shows you would have worked on? Because this is a pretty much nearly all across the board a very young creative team. So what was that like, having that element in the room?
Yeah, amazing. Just, you know, really refreshing. I think Toby and Lucy have really kind of, and the producers as well, but from the off, really sort of have driven this feeling about the show that it is literally, there's no preconception about what a queen looks like or what she sounds like. I mean, maybe a little bit in terms of vocal stylings for different queens, but every queen is based on the actor. So it very much came from a place of like, let's just find the right talent. Let's have representational casting. We need this to be representational of ethnicity, of body type, of, I mean, everything. You can look at the cast, there's no arrogant that looks the same across Broadway, West End, the Ships, Australia. Like, it's all completely, completely different. And so they very much came with this idea that, you know, that we had, there was a freedom creatively to just find the best people. And that's not, you don't always get that, especially with kind of more established shows. But, you know, as the process has gone on and we have more and more casts, they're just very passionate. There's, you know, no one's particularly jaded yet, which is nice. And they are very energized and just incredibly passionate about the show and about finding the right talent. And so it's amazing to work with a really young team who have really fresh ideas and are very focused on, as I say, just keeping everything incredibly flexible. And I love the representational element of this show, which everyone is so behind.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. And what's it been like kind of coming in, finding pieces to fit, so like the swings, and then getting to do the tour cast and beyond? Like, what's it been like finding pieces and then kind of seeing a whole cast come together from day one on?
So finding, I mean, the swings are the hardest to find. They're like gold dust. Like, we'll just never let them go. Never let them do anything else. No. Because, you know, they have to have such exceptional qualities that all the queens have, but be able to move between them convincingly, have the brain to learn it and execute it. So that was, you know, it's always challenging when we just have to find like a swing or two swings. But yeah, it's amazing just kind of, you know, seeing it all come together. And it's very interesting seeing, like, on the final day in the auditions, you see that lineup and it just suddenly makes sense and it all kind of slots into place. But also really exciting now we've got queens who are starting to come off the ships because the contracts there are only 6 months, and then kind of going, we've got contracts, you know, there are UK contracts coming up next year, and being able to kind of work with people kind of in a longer term and look at them for future contracts is really exciting, and kind of, where would that person fit? But it is a real jigsaw six, massively. Yeah.
Amazing. So I just want to delve into the kind of recasting portion for a second. Because how do you work with everybody to, for example, Sophie going into London and all of that, how do you find not only the perfect person to sit in the role, but the perfect personality to slot in with everybody else that's already there? Because it wouldn't be as easy to find that person that fits in all of those elements, like the onstage element and the offstage element, as well as kind of everything else?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I guess when we know there's one gap like there was for Sophie, you have a very clear idea of that, you know the queen that they're coming in for. So you start with people who've worked perhaps in, so Sophie, for example, had done Heathers. We knew her vocal style and also her work ethic really well. And she'd worked, we knew people who'd worked with her. We haven't cast her in anything at that point. So it became kind of a, it becomes a little bit more specific of a headhunt that you kind of, rather than just like, I would never kind of just put out on Facebook, hey guys, we're looking for this, you know, because, we don't have time. We do open calls, which I know we'll talk about separately, but for this one, it's very specific. We knew the time frame was very difficult because it was over Christmas, so a lot of people were going to be working in other shows. We needed someone who could balance that out. And again, like you say, like a personality who was going to come in and fit in and just add to the amazing atmosphere in the arts, and someone that was a positivity. So we saw a few people for that, and some were just incredible and amazing, but Sophie just ticked all those boxes at the time. And there's also a little bit more time, I guess, when you're only looking for one role to spend time with. So Jamie, who is the original director along with Lucy, he was able to spend time and work with her in the room, so you get a much calmer sense of what someone's like, than when you're kind of doing two casts at the same time. It's a little bit more of a kind of, like I said, head hunt of having in mind, okay, who else is in this lineup, who's going to fit in, who has the right work ethic, and as well as being just right for the role.
Amazing. And with the message of the show, the strong female lead empowerment side of things, what's it like from your side of the table, sitting there through auditions and seeing all the wonderful, amazing talent that's out there in the world come into one room and not only give it their all, but support each other and just create that vibe in that room?
It's mind-blowing, honestly. And like I said earlier, it's really heartbreaking when you lose someone because their dance isn't just quite strong enough, or vocally they're just they're amazing, and they're an amazing raw talent, but they're not going to sustain 8 shows a week, which is tough. It's not an easy show, but it's just incredible. And to see people grow through the audition process is amazing as well. And you see them kind of on day one, you just see that spark, and one of the directors or the associates say, I just want to bring her back. I know it's a wild card. And then by audition 3, they're owning the room and making their own choices. And it's amazing. And I think it's that thing we were talking about a minute ago, about that amazing flexibility to go, there's no cookie cutter for this. So let's work with people and let's let them find themselves. Because as you say, it's a show about empowerment. So you need people who know themselves and who are super comfortable in their own skin. And sometimes that just takes a bit of time in a rehearsal process, an audition process and a rehearsal process, particularly if they haven't done leading roles before or been in a show it's quite exposing. A lot of shows, the leads aren't on for the entire show, but there's nowhere to hide. There's no downtime. There's no, you are on stage the whole time, and you have to own that space, but also be able to gel with 5 other women on stage. It's not just your show. So it's amazing. It's an amazing process. I literally love it. And I think from March 2019 up until the pandemic, I feel like I was in the casting room for 6 every month. Every single month. But I love it. I love it. It's great.
Also, from your perspective, auditioning, obviously, if you guys are casting other shows, are you always actively looking, if you've got, say, 3 shows on the go, are you always actively looking no matter what show you're in? Auditions for, you kind of, not this show, but you'll kind of suit potentially this show?
Yes, always. Always
straight flat answer.
There's just that is literally my job, is to remember people and to always be having in mind whether you go and see a fringe theatre that's obscure, off the tracks somewhere in the north of England, or whether you're in the West End, or whether you're in an audition. And particularly with a show like 6, at the moment, until COVID happened, we were looking after 6 casts a year. So you always have in the back of your mind, you're always looking out for that person that you want to kind of bring into the room. But it works vice versa. You know, there are people who we've had in for six and aren't quite right for the show, and you kind of go, oh, we've got rent coming up, or we've got this maybe coming up at the end of the year, they'd be a really good fit. So it's always that. And that's what we say to actors, like, it's really difficult to get cut from auditions. It's really difficult to hear no, and we've been there, you know. The rejection is really hard, but if you came in and did your best and you're prepared and you sang and acted well, that casting director will remember you and they'll bring you in for something else. So don't take that as a negative overall, because our brains are always turning.
I'm watching Rosie's eyes right now kind of be like, play through everything in her head. It's great.
Literally.
What is your favorite part of the entire casting process?
Oh my gosh. The final day is really exciting, but also nerve-wracking, because you've been on this journey with all of these incredible women and you suddenly see them kind of, we do, I suppose, like a kind of workshop scenario in the final day. So we might have, let's say we're looking for one cast, so we need six queens and two alternates for a ship, and we might have 20 to 25 in the room, and they come in and out of different roles in the script, and then they get up and they sing and they do a section of their song from the show, and you just suddenly see like what these women will be like on stage, and you start matching up and you go, well, if she were Aragon, then this would be our Berlin, and then how does Seymour fit into this? And then suddenly you look and you go, oh my gosh, this is going to be such an exciting cast. Like, the sound is amazing, the energy is so exciting, and the last day is amazing. The whole process, just
putting that
joy,
final piece of the jigsaw puzzle in and seeing
but it is nerve-wracking, because you just think, oh gosh, if there's one person that doesn't quite fit into this lineup, then we have to look again, or we have to kind of review who, you know. So it's really nerve-wracking, but the whole process is just really, it's just joyous, and that's the creative team make it like that. The show is just, I never get sick of hearing it, honestly.
It's a very special show.
Very.
So what's it like for you then to have been through that process with everybody, to at some point potentially get to see them, after seeing them raw all the way through, seeing them actually on stage performing the show?
I've had tears. I've cried. I've been at the back of the arts and I've been like, because then it's another step, you know, that amazing rehearsal process where they find their character and they suddenly start to grow all these new elements and find different things in the character, or in the text is so clever. And every time I go, I hear something else that I didn't hear the first seven times. And so that's just, and then obviously they have the costume and in situ, and it's incredible. Yeah. And suddenly they're queens. It's amazing.
Amazing. Just to wrap things up on the six specific stuff, what is your favorite part of the show?
Oh god, that's really hard. I didn't think about this. The ending is pretty amazing. I love the end of the show. It's just so empowering, and the audience are just behind it from the beginning, which means that you enjoy the whole show with the people you're sitting with as well, which is so brilliant. I'm not going to pick one. I refuse. I refuse to pick a moment.
I just thought of one more question, specifically related to six. Coming into the show at the point you did, looking for Vicky and Courtney, and then seeing expand to Broadway, Australia, cruises. Yeah. What's that been like to know that you were pretty much in this show from the ground roots and you get to see it kind of expand?
We've never worked on a show at this level before. You know, we've been casting for a long time, but, you know, I think when we came on board, we knew it was something really big and really special. And there were already whispers of Broadway. And obviously with our connection with Norwegian, we knew that was kind of in the pot, I suppose, from about 3 or 4 months in. But just the scale of the fandom, I think, is quite extraordinary. And, you know, to put it on Broadway is something extraordinary. It's been amazing to be a part of it. were a very small part in it.
a crucial part, though. Like,
yeah. Yes, no, the casting is really, really important. But, you know, it's a very strange process, casting, because you're so involved from the off. It's so about, you know, sitting with the director and what are we looking for in this? And then, you know, literally 3 weeks before auditions is us going through submissions and booking in people. And then the audition process is really intense. And then there's offers. And then we let people know that they didn't get it. And then suddenly it's gone. Suddenly that casting just ends. And then suddenly we turn up like 2 months later to a press night and everyone's like, oh yeah. No, our team are amazing. And they're really so appreciative. But it's a weird disconnect that we suddenly let these people go and then they go into the rehearsal break and suddenly, you know, it becomes something else without us. So it can be a strange process, but it's an amazing show to be part of. And our team are incredibly appreciative of what we do. It's just, you want to be a little bit humble, you know. Yeah. The show is a lot bigger than the individuals involved in it.
Yeah, of course. I love that. I just want to delve into some industry stuff just because we've got a lot of young performers kind of listening. For that kind of introduction, or even the performers out there that are listening that may just need a top up, advice for looking for booking auditions, pros and cons of having an agent and booking auditions?
So as casting directors at Pearson Casting, we don't need you to have an agent. It varies a lot through the industry and on the casting director and on the production and the team and everything. So we very much go and look for everything. So we'll put out to agents, we'll put out on our social media, on our website, because we find a huge amount of talent that isn't represented for some reason. You didn't have a great showcase, you didn't get picked up, didn't work out with the agent that you signed with. That's okay. It's a very personal thing. It doesn't work for everybody. And there's just lots of people who maybe took some time out of the industry or went away and did shifts and didn't feel they needed it, whatever it is. So we're very, very open to finding talent that's unrepresented. However, it can be trickier to get seen for certain shows if you don't have an agent. I think if you don't have an agent, you have to be incredibly proactive. And with the technological advancements that we have now, I certainly didn't have when I was an actor. You can record vocals onto your iPhone. You can get someone to film you doing a monologue. You can dance in your back garden and film it. So the more footage, the more of yourself, good quality content. It doesn't have to be great, like professional quality footage, but the content has to be really great. The more that you can put together, the more likely you are to work. If you just send a letter out to somebody saying, hey, my name's Rosie and I have no representation and I want to be seen for, I don't know, a West End show, the likelihood is very small that you're going to get called in for that. You have to be able to showcase what it is that you have, because casting directors deal in huge, huge volumes. I think the Rent auditions, we had 4,500 submissions for, and on six, on average, let's say on a ship, we have about 800 to 900 people put forward. So to get that down to like 120, we have to be able to see something of you or trust that relationship with the agent or know you. So it can be tough knocking on doors, but you just have to present yourself the best you can and make sure you have up-to-date footage of yourself that really showcases yourself in that style. You know, if you're with an agent, you know, make sure that you've been really clear with them about what it is that you want from your career so that they can work well for you. There's no point kind of saying, yeah, I'll do everything. And then they say, great, we've got you auditioned for six on Norwegian Bliss. And you go, oh, I don't want to do ships. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you're working with an agent, make sure that that relationship, there's loads of great open communication, that you're both happy with that relationship. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. Spot on the nail.
Okay.
Going on to the kind of representing yourself online through social media, how important is it for young performers just to kind of get stuff up and have a kind of good social media presence, not so much a following, but a presence that shows your kind of who you are?
I'm glad you said that about followers, because I think there's a lot of confusion at the moment about, oh, I need you to have this number of followers. I think if you're going on to like Love Island, yes, they want you to have a certain number of followers. And it might be that they're, I mean, I have heard stories about people being asked in auditions about that, but honestly, that's never come across from a producer to us. And I'm not sure I would ever work on a project that you needed followers for, but a presence is really, really important. And we've been saying this a lot. We've been doing some industry surgery since lockdown happened. And we've just said, you know, you have to make a decision. What is your social media for? If it's for you and it's just selfies and holiday shots and your dinner, amazing, like great. But if you want to make it industry, there are casting directors online, particularly on Instagram, looking just for talent that's not obvious, you know, that's not necessarily on a casting, specific casting platform, or doesn't have an agent, or, you know, hasn't been to drama school or whatever it is. And particularly since everyone's now working from home, auditions few and far between. We're not in workshops, we're not in castings at the moment, so there are a lot of casting directors looking in online. So if you can have great footage of whatever it is that you do on your Instagram, someone might come across it. However, bear in mind that whatever you put on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook represents you as a business. So once you are out there as an actor and you're using your name and you put that online, that represents you. So if you post really drunken pictures and talk badly about people that you've worked with, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, like keep it off social media, because we read that. And sometimes I will look people up on socials, you know, particularly for shows like Six, where we need amazing team players and team members, and touring and ships are hard. West End is hard. And so if you're posting negative things about, oh, this production company I work with and really drunk and hungover again today, that doesn't project a professional image. And it's really hard because we live our lives publicly now online. But everything that you post reflects you. So keep it as neutral as possible. If you want, you can have Instagram private. You can lock that off and just have that for you and friends and do whatever you want on there. But anything you have publicly, just be aware that we can read it. And I've been saying to you, are you happy for Pippa Alien to sit down and read this? And you're like, oh my God, no. I'm like, well, take it off, because, you know, this represents you. So I think it can be used really positively. Yeah. I think just one more thing I want to say is, if you are somebody for whom social media is stressful and it affects your mental health negatively to be on there, and that's the case for a lot of people, you know, I use social media every day, all day for my businesses, but I need to step away from it at night. And I'm sure you're exactly the same. Sometimes it can be a negative place. Sometimes, you know, we put things out there that don't get the likes and don't get the responses, and then that makes us feel bad. Or we read, you know, continuously negative conversations, especially at the moment. There's a lot of negativity out on, you know, social media. People are feeling down or lost. If that's something for you that you find negative, don't now open it up and be like, I have to put me playing guitar on Instagram. You don't at all. You absolutely don't have to do any of that. But if you do it, make sure it looks great and sounds great and is really positive and kind of represents you in a positive light. That's
Definitely quality over quantity. You don't want to be putting anything up that's negatively going to affect you as a brand, essentially. Amazing. I love that. That was such a good deep dive. I love that. Do you have any other advice that we haven't touched on so far? Is there anything that sticks out that we haven't mentioned?
Letter writing. check first on the casting director's website or the casting team you might be writing to, I don't know, theme park or a cruise line. Check how they want to be contacted. Not everyone wants to be emailed, so if you do, that might upset them. If they are happy to be emailed, make sure you write it. I'd start a little bit formally, so I would start with dear, and then, you know, find out who you're writing to. Dear Pearson Casting is fine, but Dear Rosie and James just really kind of lands that, oh, I know who I'm writing to, I've done my research. Don't have it too long. Don't just write, hiya, I really want to be seen for this show. Emily Kiss, like, that's, I know you're laughing, I know, but I literally
I could see you reading the email and being like,
you know, you wouldn't write to, I don't know, a bank manager. Well, you might do, I don't know. But just remember that, you know, people are really, really busy. So the more personal you can be, keep it nice and brief. Again, include if you have YouTube footage, like just keep it as professional as possible. Let that person come back and go, hi, Emily. Yeah, no worries. Great to see you. You know what I mean? Like keep it nice and formal. And if you're writing off to 27 production companies, don't write them all in the two box.
BCCs are a thing for a reason, folks. They are. Blind poppies.
Yeah. I don't want to know that you're writing to Belinda King, Universal Studios, Princess Cruises, and I was like, hiya. Yeah, just keep it, you know, remember that people are very busy and we want to feel that you've made a little bit of investment in the show. Like talk about what it is you want to be seen for and what your key skills are. And yeah, that's kind of, yeah, write good letters, people. It makes a world of difference.
There we go. Final bit of advice I'm gonna ask you for some advice on. People that want to be in your shoes and want to potentially get into casting shows, hi, what steps do you suggest for those people that might want to go into the other realm of theatre and not be on stage but help create and make shows?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We had a slightly unorthodox way into casting just because we happened to be, it was very much the right place at the right time.
As you were telling your story, I was like, that's just like dead set, as lucky as it gets.
I mean, to be fair, we had also worked a little bit creatively with them as well. So we'd written a show that we'd sold and, you know, we'd built a really great relationship where we'd done like replacement contracts and helped out. And it was just one of those transitions where we knew we wanted to move into something a little more creative. But we got very, very lucky and worked very hard. I think there are loads of opportunities in creative areas, and the more experience that you can get, the better. So it might be that you write to lots of different casting directors and say, hi, I'm prepared to work for a week or 2 weeks on very kind of low pay effectively. You should always be paid for intern work, by the way, something by law, I think, in the UK. But just kind of write to them and say, look, do you have anything for a couple of weeks, and get little bits of experience and find out what areas you like. Often, for example, in casting, we need runners for the audition room, someone just to literally stand outside and tick off names and go and grab coffee. And that can be a really good insight into the other side of the audition process. Obviously auditions are like this much of an enormous, an enormous pool that is a casting, which is a lot of admin. But I think the more experience you can get anywhere, the better. If you want to be a casting director, they often suggest you do a bit of work in an agency so you can see that side of it as well, as agents do. But just try out loads of different things. Try and assist people, even just for a few weeks, even if it is unpaid, whatever. If you can afford to do that, that will just help build contacts. And, you know, if you do a good job, people will call you back to do more and offer you paid work if they have it. So that's really my biggest piece of advice. You know, just keep, get on the phone and call up. Same if you want to work in TV and film, go and be a runner, go and be an intern. Just work in that environment and do a good job and people will remember you. That's really my biggest piece of advice.
I love that. I think that's a perfect note to kind of wrap things up on. But before we do, you guys at Piercing Casting, you and James are running some free programs at the moment. Is that correct?
Yes. So yeah, I'll talk about it very quickly, but we recently launched a platform for performers. We've won some government funding and we have 30 hours a week, I know, yay, of live stream development, support and connectivity for the industry. It's available live on YouTube 30 hours a week, and it is workshops, masterclasses, Q&As with casting directors, agents, producers, tax advice if you're in Britain, it's specifically British tax advice, wellness, yoga classes. We've got some incredible directors doing workshops. We have loads of the Six team coming in and doing, Carrie Ann teaches commercial dance classes for us and Melody. We've got Franny and Grace, who are the associate directors, doing audition prep workshops. There's a just incredible array of different practitioners, and this is running till the end of November. There's no subscription, there's no sign up, there's no fees at all. It's 100% free to access until the end of November. So check it out. And the website is collectivecreativeinitiative.co.uk. So spread the word, because we want more people.
You will find that link down below for anyone that's interested. Please go click on it. Please go follow Rosie's on Twitter. You'll find James on Instagram. You'll find James on Twitter as well. You'll find Pearson Casting on both. So make sure you go check them out. Just even if it's for the links or just to see how they promote the industry. It's really good insight, guys. Like, I live in Australia, and it's a really good insight into how the UK system works and how things differ. So please go check it out. Spend some time scrolling through, reading, check out their website, go through, read. Biggest thing is information overload. And I hope you guys have very much enjoyed this episode, because I have very much enjoyed chatting to you, Rosie. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. And what time is it there right now, by the way?
It is 9:15.
At night,
yes.
Wow, okay.
It's a great time. But guys, we are going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode of the Queen and Podcast. Bye.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.